money, honey. I've got the time. We'll go honky-tonkin' and we'll have a time. We'll have more fun, baby, all the way down the line.
It's time for Inside Churchill Downs. Now, here are your hosts, John Asher, Darren Rogers, and Kevin Kirstein.
It seems fairly impossible. It seems like, well, not yesterday, but not too much further back, that we were getting ready to celebrate the Kentucky Derby and the beginning of the Churchill Downs spring meet, and we are one day away from its conclusion. It is the eve of closing day at Churchill Downs. Welcome to Inside Churchill Downs. And along with the terrific team of Darren Rogers, Kevin Kirstein, who is on the way, and John, I'm John Asher, and welcome back with us here for an hour of racing talk here on Friday night, again, in the eve of closing day of the spring meet, 37th day of 38 days of racing, and we completed, the last race of the day about 7-8 minutes ago, something in that ballpark.
Yeah, those you just sliding out right now. We had, Thunder Mesa. It looks like he got up under Florent Giroux and Mike Maker. Surprise, surprise, Maker and Giroux win on the turf.
It's a nice exclamation point for Florent to end in the meet because he will not be here tomorrow, so ends on a high note.
Yes, he does. And, from a high note to a low note,
yeah.
For our listeners out there, wanted to apologize for not being on the air last week. Obviously, was a tough day for us last Friday at the racetrack, Thursday and Friday, with the sudden passing of Chantel Lannery. And it just felt trivial to come on the air and discuss racing. I know I couldn't do it. And it's been a tough week out at the racetrack. Those of you that don't know, Chantel Lannery passed away at age 42. She was fighting stage 1 breast cancer.
Wife of jockey Corey Lannery,
who's yep.
a fistful of leading rider titles here at Churchill.
Yeah, 15, and was, going to be in a heated battle with Brian Hernandez Jr. Mm-hmm. for number 16.
It was down to one at that point.
It was.
Corey
it was
behind to be within one of Brian, who had been from opening bell on.
Yeah, but she had stage 1 breast cancer and had gone through round 1 of her chemotherapy. She had started round 2, felt some pain on Thursday. Corey took her to the emergency room. It turned out she had a colon infection. Corey, in fact, was headed back to the racetrack to ride the latter part of the card when he received a phone call from the emergency room that she started slurring her speech, and then she went into cardiac arrest. And she underwent Hail Mary surgery. It turns out she had an infection that her body just could not fight off, and it was sudden, and it's heartbreaking. The good news is we have a strong community of racing family and friends, and one of those friends on the air with us right now is Gary Palmisano Jr. Gary, thanks for joining us. I don't like to, we don't like to dwell on such a somber topic, but Chantel was a special lady, a special wife to Corey, a special mother to Britlin, and I know she was special to you and your wife. As well, she's been. Just tell us a little bit about Chantel Lannery.
Yeah, thanks, guys. It's definitely been a rough week for not only myself but many in our community, not only here in Louisiana, but because of the racing world, Chantel touched lives in Florida and Kentucky, and then obviously her family and friends back home in Louisiana. But just one of the nicest, truly the best person that we could have at the track. Just the most welcoming, most kind-hearted, most loving, caring person that I've certainly been around. I grew up in New Orleans and knew Corey and Chantel as a little young buck. Chantel most kindly punched my tickets and slipped them under the desk when I was 6 or 7 at Fairgrounds.
She was a mutual clerk down there, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah, she was. She was a mutual clerk in our suites area in Louisiana, and was one of my main folks that would always take my action, even though I was at least 10 years too young. But
could you see over the counter at that point is my question. This is...
I had to go around the side. no doubt. And then as I moved up here to Louisiana, was her and Corey were the first folks to welcome us in.
Or to Louisville,
with open
Louisville.
Arms.
To Louisville.
Yeah, to Louisville, from Louisiana, yes.
Yeah.
You know, I came up here by myself for college and to work at Churchill, and she made sure I never missed a holiday, made sure I never missed a meal, made sure I got Corey out the house for 5 hours golf just so she could get stuff done without him bothering her all day. Yeah, absolutely one of the true greats of our industry, and it's been so great to see so many folks from around the country, you know, send their thoughts and prayers and condolences to Corey and all of us, really.
Anytime you were at the racetrack and you saw Corey in the winner's circle, which has been many, many, countless times since he moved to Kentucky. Corey's been a huge force here since moving to Kentucky. And how 15
titles.
Leading rider titles. But, you know, on any of those days, you saw at some point Chantel standing in the winner's circle next to him with Britlin in many cases. And it was just an incredible family story. And you know, when I think of her, and obviously I was nowhere close to knowing her like you guys did. You guys go back so far, but she was always just delightful. And then the photo that we distributed a lot last week was that photo from Kentucky Oaks Day when she took part in the Survivors Parade. And there's a great photo taken by the Cody Photography of Chantel and Corey and Britlin there looking on as the parade went on. It was just it was a lovely moment that day. All the riders came out. Everybody was dressed in silks, and it was just an incredible addition to an already overwhelmingly emotional event. But I think we all thought, you know, it was a Survivors Parade in every sense of the word. Mm-hmm. Watching that happen on Kentucky Oaks Day, and I know from your standpoint, I know from my standpoint, again, my knowledge, my relationship with her was a tiny fraction of what you had. It's just unbelievable to look at that image, and here we are, you know, two months later, and the unthinkables happened. So,
yeah, that was truly a special moment, and as you look back on kind of the last month and a half or 2 months, it all has kind of come together now as you look back that we really just celebrated her life and her story over the past 2 months. It all kind of started with that moment. And that's something that, you know, kind of came together last minute. We wanted to do something. And all of a sudden it turned into such a great moment and a tribute to Chantel. And, you know, there have been little things along the way. We had a birthday party for her on June 2nd, her birthday. And the Lanneries would never have a Friday night birthday party during racing season, but three of her friends flew up from one from Florida, two from New Orleans to surprise her for a birthday party. And we just had an absolute blast. And it that's another thing that just kind of sprung up out of nowhere, you know, as folks got to see her and even Miss Evelyn Benoit, who's a very, very close family friend of Chantel, happened to come up here for a horse racing and got to spend some time with Chantel this past weekend. And she, of course,
was Britlin Stables, which
exactly.
Their daughter is named after that. And racing fans out might know her out there. She was the owner of Star Guitar.
Exactly.
A Louisiana legend, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Correct. Britlin Stables, Chantel and Miss Evelyn and Corey had a tremendous relationship, so much so that they named Britlin after her. And then, you know, all even on top of that, they've been dog hunting lately, and they passed on a Bella, they passed on a Francis, all these different dogs that they've been looking at, and they decided on a dog that was already named Heaven just a few weeks ago. So the whole story over the last few months has been, you know, very emotional, and kind of when you look back on it, and then of course it all kind of tied together on Friday evening. There was a massive rainbow that we could see from the Lannery household as we were all gathered together. So we absolutely know she's there and she's with us and will always be with us.
Gary, you accompanied Robbie Alvarado and Brian Hernandez and their families down to the New Orleans area for her services on Wednesday and Thursday. Tell us a little bit about, you know, the turnout and some of the writing community in particular that was down there to show their support.
Yeah, it was a who's who of the racetrack, and in particular in Louisiana, obviously, you know, known for producing top-notch jockeys and legendary riders, and the likes of Eddie Delahousie and Mark Guidry. You mentioned Robbie, you mentioned Brian, Gerard Melançon. There was a substantial amount of wins in the room there. Not to mention a few salty old school Louisiana trainers as well. It was truly a wonderful celebration of her life. And Rick Mocklin, who was a longtime jockey agent and was Corey's first jockey agent, gave a tremendous eulogy. And encompassed a few of your favorite expressions. He started off with a good old, oh, Lord.
Oh, Lord. I mean, that was Sean telling him, oh, Lord, Corey, oh, Lord.
So it was a very special couple of days. You know, you never hate to, you always enjoy gathering with some of those folks. It was very unfortunate circumstances that everyone came together for, but it was great to see everybody and great to see the outpouring of love for a special lady.
We talk about the family aspect of what we do, and it's never stronger than it is in a time of trouble or loss. But when Corey and Britland came out to the racetrack after Chantel had passed, and we had a moment of silence for her there at the racetrack, and everybody in the riding colony, friends came down to the winner's circle, and Corey wanted to be there. Corey and Britland, they came there, and everybody was with them. Their hearts were with them. They showed support, and it was just and obviously Corey was suffering, but that was a brave thing to do, but also a necessary thing I think to do, because again that bond between people in this industry, and especially those who compete and work so closely, is just so strong.
Yeah, that was a very touching moment for everybody, and it was great to have Corey and all of his family there to be a part of it. It was very difficult. It was, you know, but that sums up our industry. It is one big family. It's so funny. You watch these guys throw it down and compete day in and day out. And we talked about Robbie or Brian and Corey and Robbie all kind of battling it out here at Churchill Downs day in and day out. And then, you know, off the track, we're all great friends. We all play golf. We all go to each other's houses, and we all help with each other's kids, and we do everything a family would do, and that moment certainly felt that you could feel those same sentiments. It was truly a heartfelt moment, and it is one big family in this racing industry.
And Corey and Brian were, you know, in advance of this, were chirping at each other pretty good. They were really looking forward to a battle for the leading rider title down the stretch. Gary, tell us about what Corey's plans are tomorrow.
Yeah, Corey will be in town. They had a commitment to take their daughter Britland to see Taylor Swift, and so Corey is going to fly up, and he really wanted to be there to see Brian win this title and help present him with that award.
Which is Brian's first riding title at Churchill Downs.
First riding title at Churchill Downs, yeah, and that's going to be very special to Corey. I know Brian's on later and he'll talk more to it, but, you know, Corey basically said, you know, you got to do this for Chantel. You got to get this done. And it was going to be, you know, a lot of fun watching those two guys go at it. There's not two more competitive guys in the room, whether we're playing ping pong or pool or whatever. Those two guys love to throw it down, and seeing them battle it out, you know, would have been fun to watch, but I can tell you it's very meaningful to Corey and I know Chantel that Brian's gonna be the leading rider at Churchill this spring. It'll be nice. I know Corey will really enjoy being on hand for that.
And Brian did nail that down today. So,
yes, he
so
did.
He does. He's got one more day of riding, but he did earn his first title here today.
Yeah, and I know something else that Corey will be rooting for tomorrow. He'll be rooting for you and the Churchill Downs Racing Club for a little success with Warriors Club returning to the track with following the Met Mile. He's going to be going to post as one of the favorites in the Kelly's Landing. What'd you make of the Met Mile effort? And this is going to be more to his liking?
Yeah, I think the Met Mile, you know, I went up there for a few days, and he just looked pretty dull, not really himself. I kind of believe that I don't know if it was the shipping or what, but he just kind of wasn't himself in the paddock, and he wasn't himself training the few days before the race. And the race on Derby Day was a hard-fought effort, and that might have took a little more out of it than we initially thought. You know, you have to try the races like the Met Mile. You have to see what you got, especially when you have a horse who gets beat a nostril in a grade two on Kentucky Derby Day. And we took our shot, and it's nice to come back home and run at Churchill Downs, especially for all the club members who can make it out and see him perform. But I'll tell you what, that's one of the trickiest races I've had to handicap in maybe the whole meet at Churchill. There's some quality horses in there, some horses that are young, that are improving, some horses that have, like Chief Cicatrice, that just ran off the screen last time that, you know, you kind of want to know, you know, was that the real deal, or you know, maybe he'll address a little bit. It's a handicapping puzzle that, you know, that'll be fun to figure out tomorrow, and hopefully our horse is in the mix.
And then also on the card tomorrow for the Churchill Downs Racing Club, there's a filly who I saw a Facebook Live a couple of weeks ago when you had a club day out there in the mornings that Dwayne Lucas was talking about this new filly that he has named She's Got It All. Talk a little bit about her, and do you think she's the real deal?
I hope so. Wayne has high hopes for her.
Tell us what Wayne told you. Tell us what Wayne told you.
He expressed to me that he believes I'll have some difficulty getting enough Breeders' Cup tickets when this filly makes the race in a few months, but that would be a problem we'd be happy to try to solve.
That's awesome.
But he has high expectations. Now, this is a filly that was purchased out of the winnings from Warriors Club, so it's kind of her group. Folks, so we paid $75,000 for her soon after Warriors Club's Commonwealth Stakes victory. So she's representing that particular group, and we'll see. It looks like it's a race where all first-time starters don't really know what to expect, but you know, she's done everything right in the morning, and we'll see.
It's Gary Palmisano. And Gary, for those who have just joined us here, you manage the Churchill Downs Racing Club and have been a part of an amazing story. And I would ask you just if you had anything remotely close to this in your expectations when we got this started, but we're only on for an hour. But for anybody who's interested in the next Warriors Club, what do they need to do when there'll be more opportunities down the road?
Yeah, just follow the Churchill Downs, churchilldowns.com/racing club. We just closed up a horse with Tom Amos that filled up 200 members. So our usual MO has been to kind of do something around Derby time each year. So I would fully expect next spring for us to launch something and keep on trucking. It's been a tremendous experience and a lot of fun. And we've created a bunch of new owners, and that's been it's been a big success. So we're going to keep on going with it.
So big day tomorrow for the Racing Club in the 10th race, the Kelly's Landing. He has number 6, Warriors Club, 3-1 on the line. And then the debut in race 4, a bunch of unraced 2-year-old fillies going 5 furlongs. He has number 4, She's Got It All. Wayne Lucas, Brian Hernandez will be up. And 8-1 on the morning line. You're hoping you can get that, right?
Typically, the Racing Club sends it in. So, 3-1 is kind of what I'm anticipating. But you know, we'll see. We'll see what she's made of. I know Wayne's horses usually take a race or two. So, hopefully, she's got what it takes tomorrow.
If she wins tomorrow, you're going to need more Breeders' Cup tickets, buddy. just get ready.
We'll
get ready for the onslaught
quickly.
All right, bud. Well, hey, good luck tomorrow, and thanks again for taking the time to talk a little bit about Chantel Lannery. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Make sure you guys grill Hernandez here soon.
Yeah, has he worked this? She's Got It All. Has he worked during the morning?
He has not.
Okay.
He has not.
All right.
All right.
So he's going off of your touts only. Okay. Sounds
exactly
good. All right. Thank you, pal. We'll see you at the track tomorrow.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. We go from Brian Hernandez Jr. to another. I mean, from Brian Hernandez. He'll be coming up a little later in the show.
We will be going to Brian
from Gary Palmisano Jr. to Brett Calhoun, who has a trio of stake entrants tomorrow. He's got a lot of action on tap.
And the main thing, two of them are two-year-olds.
I know. We love those two-year-olds.
Nobody ever committed suicide if they had a two-year-old in the barn. You're always excited. But when you got a good one, it's even better.
With trainer Brett Calhoun. BC, how are you, friend?
Great. Good evening.
Well, we wanted to talk to you a little bit about your two-year-olds that you have on tap, and one in particular was the flashy Keeneland Maiden winner, Shanghai Rue, who is drawn the post position one in the 13-horse Bashford Manor tomorrow. Nothing like having good two-year-olds in your barn. And I know this horse was frustrating for you come Derby week. The horse was scratched a couple minutes before post as one of the Kentucky favorites Juvenile. In the Kentucky Juvenile, but you must be excited to get him back on track. Tell us a little bit about Shanghai Rue.
Yeah, it was a big lost opportunity. I felt that weekend. I thought the horse was really ready, sitting on a big race. Unfortunately, a couple of things didn't go right. I think the crowd upset him a little bit, and it got a little hot, and he tied up, and state bets were paying close attention, thank God, and scratched him to fight another day. Since that time, he's done great. He's been trading fantastic, and everything's gone well for him. I look for a big performance tomorrow. You know, I could have done without the one post, but if I had to choose one of them to do it, he would be the one. He's you know, he's pretty professional. His first out at Keeneland, he was kind of crowded and Moreno came through. Pretty brave. So he showed me that he can overcome some of that.
Yeah, that was a real nice win in his debut at Keeneland where he broke from post three, but he was sitting just off the leaders and made a nice move to get through. I mean, that's the type of professionalism you're looking for with a two-year-old. Does he have a good mind, I take it?
Yeah, he's very good mind, and that's what was so surprising about Derby week, that he kind of come unraveled a little bit, I guess. He just internally was kind of turning over and got upset and got hot. So he's very good-minded, and like I said, it was very surprising.
How about in the debutante? Shanghai Rain is another one that you broke your maiden with at Churchill Downs in her second start. And she, too, is a daughter of Shanghai Bobby for owner-breeder Tom Durant. Tell us a little bit about Shanghai Rain and the debutante.
She's a filly that we really like. When we first moved into Keeneland this spring, she wasn't as – we brought three over there to run. And the first two won first time out, two colts, and she was not as good as them. But I thought she was good enough to come up here and try. She drew an outside post first time out, was wide all the way around there, had a little traffic trouble, and just kind of an average race. But the thing I like about her so much is the fact that she's gotten better every day of her life. You know, some of these two-year-olds they're just early and fast, precocious, and they're as good as they're ever going to be. By July, and some of the others come along and improve and get better. She's one that has a better day every day, and I think the farther distance, as opposed to the 5/8, the 3/4, is going to suit her even better. So we're pretty optimistic about her.
And you weren't the luckiest guy at the post draw. As you mentioned, you got the one hole for Shanghai Rue. You got the outside hole for Shanghai Rain. So you got from one extreme to the other. But you know, how to talk about the one hole a little bit with the colt, because you've got more distance. Should get out a step short slowly. So you've got an extra half furlong. But there, Churchill, you start right on the other side of the first turn gap there. And you know, we've seen a horse or two through the years on the inside kind of duck in. You have any concerns with him about that?
Well, first off, I entered 4 2-year-olds that day around the country. Yeah. Three of them drew the one, and one of them drew the outside. It was my lucky day. But as far as the inside post goes with these young horses, yeah, I mean, with him, it's not so much, but it's always in your mind. I mean, obviously, you break, you got to go across that gap, and they're not seasoned at that. So it is something a little bit new for them. You know, there again, I think he's a pretty good-minded colt. So I feel a little bit better about him being in that position.
And then talk a little bit about, Brett, about Tom Durant, because both of these horses are homebreds for Tom Durant, and has to feel special, especially for him, to have two of the horses that he bred now have very promising futures ahead, especially with tomorrow in these two stake races.
Well, Tom and Jack, his manager, have done a great job breeding and raising these horses, and I think they take a lot of pride in having these homebreds show up like they have. I was talking to Tom about 2 weeks ago about it, and you could tell he was beaming. It was a little special for him having a homebred. We've got some other nice horses we bought at yearling sales, but I think he's obviously the most proud of these homebreds. And they had a great plan. Tom really loves competing at Keeneland, and they had a group of yearlings that they selected that they thought might go early. We broke them and started preparing them that way. Some of them we went on and pointed towards that meet, and some of them we've backed off of. But they had a great program of getting them broke and giving them a little time to develop and then getting them back in training and getting them to meet early and giving me every opportunity to get them ready. So I think Tom is really, really enjoying running these homebreds.
Brett, Shanghai Bobby, still a fairly young sire. You obviously both of these by Shanghai Bobby. What are your thoughts on him as a sire? Have you had any from him before? And what do you think the future might hold for these guys?
It's funny because I was a little cool on him early because I always make all the two-year-old sales. And him being a champion two-year-old, I expect him to show up really early and look extremely precocious. And at the sales, they really didn't show up that well, the two-year-old sales. And early on, when they started running them, they didn't really show up that well. So I was getting a little cool on him. And then here comes a couple in my barn that trained great and have marched right forward. And then he has the big winner at Royal Ascot the other day. So it looks like he's coming to life. And these are only the only couple I've had that have run. And obviously, we liked them a lot.
Brett, I believe that this time a year ago we had you on the show. We were talking a little bit about Awesome Saturday in advance of his run in the Indiana Derby, and it didn't quite work out. You finished fifth, well beaten, but you gave him some time off, and he's come back and returned in sprints. Obviously, the test tomorrow, it's not easy. Repeat, facing Chief Cicatriz, Mr. Crow again, and then of course Warriors Club. But where do you stand with Awesome Saturday now this year during his four-year-old season?
Well, the race at Keeneland was a tremendous race. I was standing in the winner's circle when he came by me, and I thought he was a winner. He stuck ahead in front and thought he was going on to win at that point in time. Huge race for him. He comes back. He's entered at Churchill Derby Week in a big race, 7/8, and he gets a nick on a leg, the hock blows up, and it's scratching. So 7/8 is his preferred distance. I end up in a three-quarter race a few weeks later, and basically we just run off his feet. He's not as good at three-quarters. He would just run off his feet that day. So we're getting back to his favorite distance at 7/8. Deep group of field of horses, a very, very quality group. He'll have to be at his best, but we like him. Everything's going well for him, and he loves that 7/8 distance.
And what can you tell us a little bit, the running theme of drawing post position one? You've got the first-time starter tomorrow in the fourth race, Rum and Ice for Allied Racing Stable. It's a daughter of Congrats. What can you tell us about her?
Well, we've started quite a few two-year-olds at this meet that I really didn't have really that ready. I wanted to give them some races before the meet ended. On the 30th, instead of shipping them to run the first time. So they didn't show up so well, but they ran according to the way we had them prepared. Rum and Ice is a little different. We really feel like we've got her ready. If she can overcome the inside post, we think she's going to be very, very tough in there tomorrow.
One of the more talented fillies that you've had in your care for a long time has been Finley's Lucky Charm. I know she was so impressive here last year, sweeping the trio of sprint races in the spring. Will you talk a little bit about her progression and what the plans are for her in her next start?
Well, obviously, she's been a great filly for us, winning the grade one at Keeneland. I think that race took a little bit of a toll on her. It was a hard-fought race. Her and American Gal went toe-to-toe the whole way around there, and we held on. And we ran her back to Humanity Staff, and I don't think she liked the going. She was in the inside, and I think she's a little empty horse, too. So we freshened her a little bit, and we're pointing towards the Honorable Miss July 25th at Saratoga, a race that she was second in last year. It looked like she had won the race, but she had put the other filly away. Another filly came back and beat her on the wire. So hopefully we can turn the tables this year and get a win there.
What's the latest with Classy Act, the nice allowance winner the last time out at Churchill going 7/8.
Classy Act is breezing in the morning. Her last work in prep for the following Sunday at Belmont in a victory ride. Three-year-old filly's going 6.5.
Excellent.
Another very quality field. The filly of Steve's that won the Eight Bells is running there amongst several other quality fillies.
Yeah, so Mia Mischief, right? Yeah, Mia Mischief.
Yes.
Well, Brett, we really, really appreciate the time and wish you the best of luck tomorrow. And you know what? Before I let you go, I know you knew, you know, Chantel Lannery. And Corey's ridden for you for a number of years. Our years dating back to Texas. Just your thoughts on them right now.
Well, heartbreaking. I've been pretty torn about it since it happened. You know, I knew them pretty well from the time they were very young. They started dating at a young age, and that's when Corey had the bug, and I was around him quite a bit as a young age. Just devastating for the whole family, and I feel for the little girl. You know, it's even worse having a young girl.
Yeah, the uplifting part now is where I'm kind of turning that page to the uplifting part. Is it's such a strong racing community, and they have so many friends that are going to support them, but... I know you're right in line with that, you know.
Well, you're right. You know, you talk to everybody, all the friends, and that's what everybody talks about, how what's going to happen moving forward and who's going to do what and chip in, and everybody's, you know, chipping in and going to help out. So, like you said, it's everybody's competing, but it is a very, very close-knit community.
Yeah. All right, pal. We, again, appreciate the time, and thanks again, and we'll look forward to seeing you at the track tomorrow. Good luck.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
All right. Brett Calhoun, trainer, extraordinary. He's got a nice little roster of horses in
his
stable.
He knows
right
his
now.
Way around a 2-year-old, as we've talked about before. But just you know, and last year was a stakes winner at Churchill Downs with Patrona Margarita.
Yep. Patrona Margarita. She's off. I didn't ask much about her. I know she's got time off at the moment.
Yeah,
she ran in Texas at Lone Star, I think, a couple weeks ago, giving her a break.
But the point is, he has shown time and again he can get it done here, and he's got two really, really promising horses in those 2-year-old stakes here tomorrow.
The action tomorrow, of course, the final closing day card gets underway at 12:45, and we have 11 races on tap, including the three stakes, the Debutante, the Kelly's Landing, and the Bashford Manor.
Then we'll try to leave the track with a combination of the Churchill Downs Racing Club crowd and then the concert next door.
Yes, so. In fact, with that said, we're expecting a big crowd. You know, the parking lots with, you know, basically the old Longfield lot being under construction, those parking lots fill up quickly. So if you advise you to get there early, and then if you can't get, you know, you can park in the green, maroon, or the lime lots. I think that's basically all the lots near Wagner's Pharmacy. You can walk over. Or if you want to park at the Kentucky Exposition Center, Lot H, there's going to be free shuttle service to and from the track if you get there late. There's a mandatory payout in the single six. It'll cover races 7 through 12. The carryover is $64,321 that we all get to chase, and it should be a great closing day card, a lot of highlights.
Amazingly, you know, always part of the drama on closing day is to see who wins the championships and for the leading owner, trainer, jockey, but they're all nailed down.
They're all nailed down. Ken Ramsey's got his 31st record-extending owner's title. Steve Asmussen, his record-extending 19th training title at Churchill Downs.
Closing
and,
on fire.
And by the way, last count, 62 wins away from Dale Roman's all-time mark. He is soon going to be Churchill Downs all-time leading trainer.
In the Dale Roman's force there.
But Dale's not done yet. It's going to take him a little while to get to it. Yep. And then for the first riding title, our next guest. Brian Hernandez, Jr.
I've told this story before. I remember the day I met Brian. It was the morning after his high school graduation. He was up here to ride at Churchill the next day. And he's been one of the outstanding riders here at Churchill Downs for years. And now... we'll have in his grasp as of this time, about this time tomorrow, we'll have his first trophy for the leading rider of Churchill Downs. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian Hernandez, Jr. joins us. Brian, great to have you with us here on Inside Churchill Downs. And I know you got some work to do tomorrow, but congratulations on that first riding title.
Hey, John. Yeah, thank you. It's a nice accomplishment, but it's a bittersweet accomplishment, this meet going on along with everything that's happened with Corey and his family and Chantel, you know. It'd mean a whole lot more if Corey was here with us to battle it out with.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about, you know, heading into just outside of the last week, Corey had pulled within one of you. You had been out there in front from the get-go and had a fairly, not comfortable, but a sizable margin there early. And Corey was coming back, and then just everything went south last week. And I know you were close to Chantel and Corey, and as we've mentioned so many times during this show, it's just such a close knit family. But I know you were exceptionally close. So I can't imagine what you guys have gone through, but it's good to have each other, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. No, thank y'all. It's going to be a process. You know, we just got to look out for Corey and Britland now.
Yep. Happy birthday to Ben, by the way. Two years old today, right?
Today, Big Ben turned two, so we'll go home tonight and have a little cake and a little celebration for Big Ben.
That'll be good. Tomorrow, I guess, early in the card, we're going to celebrate you and the accomplishment. What's your personal highlight of the meet? What are you most proud of this season?
Probably Funny Duck winning the Fat Day Mile. That was just, and the whole day, Derby Day, you know, being able to win three races on Derby Day and capping it off with Funny Duck winning the Fat Day Mile, and just horses like that. You know, we've been fortunate enough to where Frank and I have worked hard at it, and we've been on quite a few 2-year-olds, and we've had some exciting 2-year-olds that looks like to go on to the rest of the year with, and we just got to kind of keep going forward. But like I said, I think Derby Day is probably the most exciting day we've had at the meet.
What are some of the, you mentioned 2-year-olds, which 2-year-old out there elicits the most excitement from you at this stage?
Well, so far, you know, they've all been exciting. Like the filly for Kenny, she's back in the debutante tomorrow. She was impressive to go ahead and win first time out. And then we had another filly for Billy Connolly that we had been working since April. And she was third first time out. And then she came back and she won going 5/8 really impressively. And the filly that actually beat her that day, she was third. And Blame the Frog was second.
Yep.
It's just, We've had quite a few of them that it looks like they'll just go on to do some promising things in the fall. We just got to kind of keep going forward.
And that Billy Connolly filly you're speaking of was Lady Lucy, who won last or 2 weeks ago, I guess, on the 15th. And talk about how much preparation you do with some of the horsemen in advance of the of them even seeing the racing. Working with a young horse, what is your number one primary goal as a jockey when you get on a 2-year-old in the morning?
A lot of times you just want to see them do everything the right way and have the right mentality to do it. You know, it's okay for a horse to go out there and work fast. You'll get one that'll work in a minute or whatever. But the most important thing is how they come back out of it and watching them after that. And that's the biggest thing. I've been fortunate enough so far that I work with some really good horsemen, and they've taught me along the way that it's all about the way a 2-year-old in that acts after the work and how they come back and cool out. So that's kind of the biggest thing, is you just want to look into how they handle themselves and if they'll be mentally prepared for when they go out there for the first trip.
You mentioned Kenny McPeak's filly tomorrow on the debutante stakes. That is Restless Rider, who's the second choice, I think, in the morning line. They're very impressive first time out. Just kind of your thoughts on her at this point, and what do you think about tomorrow? Going 6 furlongs.
Yeah, she was really impressive first time out. She had a little mishap behind the gates, but she got up after that, and she left there in good order, and she did everything the right way that day. So we have to go into the debutante knowing that we have a good race under us, and especially Kenny's program is great because he never cranks him up to go ahead and win first time out, which is, I believe, a great aspect because you can improve on a horse from there. So with Restless Rider tomorrow night, she should be able to improve off of her first race. And like we said, for a Kenny McPeak first her to win first time out, that's impressive. So she'll look to improve again.
You also had on Brett Calhoun right before you, and he was talking about Awesome Saturday. You ride him in the Kelly's Landing. He thinks the 7/8 of a mile is going to be perfect, and he really liked that race at Keeneland. what happened last time and your thoughts on Awesome Saturday moving forward. It's not an easy spot, but he's a quality horse.
Yeah, he's a horse we've always liked from the first day he came in. And last time out, I think the Aristides, we cut back to the three quarters and we thought we'd be able to run him down, but we ran into some pretty fast horses and they just kind of ran us off our feet. And that's exactly what Brett said when he came back. I wanted to tell him that. The first thing he goes, man, they just ran us off our feet tonight. And I was, yeah, exactly. But we're cutting back to the 7/8 this trip. So we just kind of leave there aggressively on him and hope that he's able to kind of get in a nice rhythm and stay out of his way from there. And he'll show his nice run like he did the day at Keeneland in the Commonwealth.
Brian, I know given how the meet has ended here. I mean, you're going to get the trophy, but of course the end of the meet was so difficult with the personal loss. But I know it's going to take a little while to process. But this is a goal you've looked toward to win a racing meet here at Churchill again. Back to that first day I met you, and I think we talked about that all those years ago. And now you're here. You look at the quality of this jockey colony the guys are in there behind you. Talk a little bit about what this means to you at this point. You're coming off of a year last year in which you had a horse that was a major contender who went into the Kentucky Derby. Didn't work out as you'd hoped, but a horse has given you some thrills there. And now you get this meet championship here. What does this mean to you? And kind of where do you think you are at this point in your career?
Yeah, of course it means a lot to you. You always reflect on the guys you've looked up to. Getting to this point, you know, between guys like Calvin Burrell and Corey, we've always been in the same corner, and watching those guys prosper and do better as the years go on, it's nice to be able to join them in the same group and be able to say, you know, I'm a leading rider from Churchill Downs. It's an elite group to be a part of, and it's an honor.
It is a tough group. Again, look at the guys. You've got one Hall of Famer in the room every day, and Calvin Burrell.
Exactly.
And you've got Giroux, who finished second. Of course, Corey, 15 riding titles. It's an amazing group. I mean, what is that when you walk in and you see those faces? Obviously, you know them all, and you've ridden in them. And in the case with Corey and Robbie, you've yapped at them a few times in a race. I'm sure there's a deep and strong competition there, but. I mean, do you sit around and think of all the talent that's around you there, or is it just go out and do your job?
Of course, you notice how great the riders are here, but at the same time, you still have to go out and do your job, because if you don't, they're going to look up, they're going to catch up to you, so you just got to kind of grind it out and keep showing up. The greatest thing I think I've ever learned was from Calvin and Corey as well, is just keep showing up every day. If you show up every day, people will give you an opportunity, and that's kind of the motto we've always followed throughout my whole career, is just kind of keep showing up every day, keep looking for that next really good horse, and let people know you're going to be there for them, and it's worked out.
Again, you started out with a bang in a spring meet. You mentioned how special Derby Day was to you, but I think obviously you're optimistic going into any meet, but were you ready for that kind of start and to just see the success continue to roll on and roll on, knowing that there's some tough riders in that room behind you?
Yeah, you know, we were fortunate enough to where we had big borns behind us, but Calhoun and Ian Wilkes and all those guys. And then Frank and I were fortunate enough to where we developed a pretty strong bond with Kenny McPeak over the winter in New Orleans, and going into Keeneland and Churchill, he supplied us with some really livestock and some really good horses. So we have to give thanks to all those guys for just kind of keeping us going and keeping – and also Rusty Arno, you know, those guys, they all came into Churchill with some livestock for us, and that's what it all boils down to, is just having the right kind of horses for the right races.
You mentioned your agent, Frank, who I see almost every morning there really early. He's working hard. You're there really early, as you were just saying, keep showing up every day. Talk a little bit about your guys' relationship, because it's really seemed to blossom over the last couple of years. I know you've been with him for a few years now, dating back to the mid-2010s. Talk a little bit about you and Frank's working relationship.
Frank and I's relationship is one of the greatest, because I never have to call him after the races, and he doesn't call me. He texts me with my workers and that, and he goes out and he does his job, and I go out and do mine, and we just kind of leave it at that. And you know, we'll talk when we think a really good horse, or we'll kind of bounce ideas off of each other. But I have the ultimate trust in him to go out there and put me on the best horses he can find for me. And then I believe he has the same trust in me that we'll just go out there and give him the best opportunity we can. And it's worked out great. You know, we've been together 6 years, and out of the 6 years, we've never had an argument, which I love. And it's just the fact of that we're able to trust each other, and just there's never worries about, oh, you know what, this guy might not show up today, or I might not show up today. We're always going to be there, and we're just going to do our job and be there for. And the biggest compliment I get about Frank is from everyone. They love him. They like the way he does his job. He handles himself professionally, and he just goes out there and does his job.
That's so important. We're talking Frank Bernice, who's Brian Hernandez's agent, used to be the former assistant trainer to Tom Amos. And, yeah, that's one of the things that I've noticed sort of as an outsider is, you know, Frank just always shows up, and he's so professional. And I know there's, you know, some of the agents back there who always seem to get along with Frank well, even though they're head-to-head competing for each other. And I've always noticed that in you, that you guys. So it's been a great year, a great working relationship. I want to talk a little bit about you and Gary Palmisano, because you're – teaming up tomorrow, and Gary told us to grill you a little bit about a horse you have for him, a first-time starter for Dwayne Lucas, who is apparently, you know, the next big thing. Her name is She's Got It All in race four tomorrow. How nerve-wracking is it for you to ride one for racing manager extraordinaire Gary Palmisano?
He's in Gary's eyes, he's a whole lot bigger deal than he thinks he is.
He drops the mic at that point.
Yep.
Gary should be bought for what he's worth and sold for what he thinks he's worth.
That's two.
Yep. But, go for the hat trick.
From what I've heard, the Phillies, she's supposed to be really, really nice. I haven't been on her in the mornings, but Calvin has, and he really likes her. So, and you know, Lucas. Dwayne, he knows how to get him there, so I'm excited to be able to ride her out. I'm looking forward to her.
And he wasn't shy to name her She's Got It All. I mean, that's how he felt when he saw her.
I'm guessing he had a little help with that name.
Yeah. Want to ask you about some of the horses that you've ridden this spring, this year, your thoughts on them. And you rode McCracken in the Met Mile last time out. Didn't quite pan out like you had hoped after the nice turn back to a mile win at Churchill on Derby Day, but your thoughts on McCracken's last effort?
You know, last effort, it was sneaky well. He stepping up from the last Derby at Churchill right into B Jersey and Mind Your Biscuits and those kind of horses. He ran a good fifth. He had a little trouble turning for home and just kind of squeezed in between horses and things like that, but anytime you're in those grade ones like that, you have to bring your A game and run your best races, which now he's going to run back in the Cornhusker here next week, and he's going to go back to the mile and an eighth. And we think, talking to Ian, I didn't get to work him last week because I was out of town, but talking with Ian, we think we're going into the Cornhusker with a live horse, and hope if everything goes well, we'll have him ready for the fall here at Churchill for Breeders' Cup.
How about you brought up Rusty Arnold earlier. One of the fillies that really caught my eye this meet was Skeptic. She won going a mile and a 16th by 4.5 in a first level allowance after you broke her maiden at Keeneland. This filly, to me, looks like she might have a bright future. Are you as excited about her?
I've been excited about her since last October. I got off of her at Keeneland, and I told she was second in a maiden race at Keeneland, and I told Rusty, and Rusty mentioned it as well. He goes, "This is going to be a special filly," and I agreed with him. And she came back and was impressive there in her maiden race at Keeneland, and came back and won the 1X against Older. She's going to run back in the Iowa Oaks actually next week as well. So we're really looking forward to her.
Well, while we're on the subject, any other mounts you have up there in Iowa?
I'm going to ride another one in the Iowa Derby, I believe, Fort Peck for Ian and Mrs. Whittem. I've never been on him, but he broke his maiden there at Churchill impressively, and we're looking forward to him.
Another horse that you, or a trainer that you ride often for is Neil Howard, and he always has a nice horse, you know, from guest suites to the Crosswalk. What happened last time out? He was beat by Seven Trumpets as a short price favorite. Was it the case that he didn't like the slop, or what were your thoughts on that race?
No, you know, Neil and I, we work closely together, and he's the most amazing person ever. But with Crosswalk, I think it was kind of rider error. I might have just left him a little too much to do, and Seven Trumpets kind of got the jump on us turning for home, and we closed into the margin, but like I said, I think it was a little more of rider error than horse error, and we just couldn't make up the ground on him.
When you are the leading rider at Churchill Downs, you're well-mounted, and that looks to be the case tomorrow. Tell us a little bit about Don't Tell Marge, also for Neil Howard, who won easily on the turf in her debut on turf, and now she tries a first-level allowance tomorrow in the eighth race.
Yeah, we're excited about her. Neil, I worked her one morning for Neil, and he goes, you know, I think this filly's going to be nice. And she worked well. She worked a good 5/8, and then I hadn't been back on her. And then when we were in the paddock with her when she broke her maiden the other day, he goes, you know, this filly, she's going to be really, really good. Da, da, da. And she showed it, you know. So now we're going into the 1X. Of course, coming up from the maiden race to the 1X, you always have to step your game up a bit. But we think she's going to have a bright future behind her.
Yeah, it's funny. She was 86-1 in her debut, you know, well beaten on the dirt. She tries the turf, wins at 13-1. Another horse that, you know, is finished nice in third, you know, in her first two starts for Mr. Howard, the Sweetest Taboo. You ride her in the nightcap, and she will try turf for the first time. Is that something you guys talked about, that you thought that might be her future?
That was right after her last race. You know, she ran the 7/8 of a mile, and when we got off of her, Neil said, let's go ahead and give her a chance on the grass. And we believe she's a really nice filly, and it's just one of those deals where we think she's going to step forward on the grass.
What are your plans for the summer, Brian? Are you going to stick around and ride the Ellis Park meet, or will you go back and forth maybe to Saratoga for some mounts? What are your plans going forward in the next couple of months?
The plans right now are we'll do Ellis. Ellis will be based here in Louisville and then kind of bounce around a lot, but Ellis, the main base. But like next week, we do Ellis one day, and then we go to Iowa for their festival, Chicago one day, and then Belmont on Sunday. So we'll just kind of be wherever we have tack, and we'll travel wherever they want us to be.
Most importantly, though, coming up, Ben's birthday party.
That's so. Right.
Yeah, exactly. We got to go celebrate Big Ben.
So, all right, brother.
All right. Hey, thank you again for taking the time. And, again, you know, it's been a hard week on all of us. I know how particularly hard it has been on you, Jamie, and probably the kids, too. But, anyway, thank you for taking the time. And, again, sorry for your loss.
Yes, of course. Thank you, guys.
Congratulations on the title. We'll see you add to it tomorrow. Take care, Brian.
Thanks.
Brian Hernandez Jr., the leading jockey of the spring meet at Churchill Downs. We'll see what the final total is tomorrow on closing day. So, anyway, an exciting show to wrap things up here tonight. We heard from Brian Hernandez. We heard him throw a couple of jabs at Gary Palmisano Jr.
That's always good.
The manager of the Churchill Downs Racing
I just got
Club.
A text, and Gary said it's called the Great Wall of Gary, apparently in the finale. I don't know if you guys watched it, but Brian literally had the most trouble, and it really wasn't his fault.
Yeah.
Get into a wall of horses in front of him, and Gary said, it must have been the Great Wall of Gary knowing that I needed you in mid-stretch to come up there and try and pass this field.
As he uttered on our show at one point, Gary is always happy on empty. He's happy on empty.
And while offering thanks to both those gentlemen, we offer thanks, too, to Brett Calhoun for joining us and talking about his he's got shots in all three stakes races tomorrow on closing night. So good way to wrap up the spring meet. Of course, remember, if you're coming out, again, we've got racing starting at 12:45, regular post time. Get there early for a parking space. We've got 11 races on
12
the card.
Races.
12 races.
12.
It was 11 today, 12 tomorrow. So 12 on the card.
Get those Brisnet Pass performances ready. That big carryover, $64,321.
And again, for parking, you can, along with the parking that's available there at the track.
Just get there early.
Just get there early. And if need be, you want to come from the fairgrounds, there is a shuttle available.
And I do need to use my line, because of the big concert, the Taylor Swift concert.
Correct.
If you're looking for a Swift exit, take Taylor Boulevard on the way out of the track tomorrow. So, anyway, and thanks to Magic Mike for running the board. For John Asher and Kevin Kirstein, I'm Darren Rogers. Thank you very much for listening to Inside Churchill Downs. We'll be back next Friday. I won't be here, though, boys.
You enjoy your vacation.
We'll
try to hang on.
But
if we've recovered,
we will all recover. Anyway, thanks again for listening to Inside Churchill Downs. It's ESPN 680 105.7.